infectious doubt, desperate followers, and plagiarism? We're getting into it next.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, welcome everybody to the after show for Messiah on Netflix. We are covering season one, episode five, So That Seeing They May Not See. These last two episodes, you guys, are too much, too much. We're talking Jabril's faith, because that was a big head hitter this time, Oscar Wallace theory, and of course, Dilly, Texas is on the map.
On the map, finally.
It's here. Nobody knew about it. I didn't know about it. And now everybody and their mom knows about it. So we are also diving into our special segment, WWYD, and of course, our news and gossip. So good. But first, my name is Tatiana Marisa, and of course, I am joined by my lovely co-host. Oh, we got an applause.
That's so nice.
Who knows all things Messiah. You have been in it to win it from the beginning.
Yes, I'm invested.
You are.
I'm invested.
You are an expert now on this.
Yes, 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 yes. Ebony Chapman, so.
Get it. That's good. Awesome. Okay, so diving into it, what were your overall thoughts of this last one? Because our last episode was, of course, the big trial, and you all know we had a lot to say about that. So coming down from that high,
right? Definitely coming down from the high.
What do you think?
I am kind of like, I think this episode was like a big setup, meaning like setting up for episode six. Mm-hmm. Like there was a lot of moving parts, a lot of things going on, but like nothing really like nothing crazy, like big happened. So yeah. I think they were just setting up for episode six. So I'm really excited to see what goes down.
Me too. Me too. I think there were some really good things that happened and some very good character development in this one.
Yes, so, character development for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it. So Jabril's faith is what I want to talk about first because he is pretty much left by everybody.
Oh my gosh, that was so sad.
It was really sad.
And he just like woke up and everybody was gone, even his best friend.
Yes, because he's been being sustained by his best friend. Right. Like being read to, oh my gosh, and like being dragged to prayer and all that. It's crazy. And the rest of the group is leaving because somebody actually died.
Right.
They're in the middle of prayer, keeled over, dead. And everybody's like,
we're out. Peace out. We got to go back.
He left us. What are we doing here? People are dying. They haven't eaten or drank in days. Well, I mean, they do have people giving them stuff, but it's not enough to sustain anybody, you know, especially in the desert. I mean, they're sleeping there and there's kids there. Forget it.
Right.
Forget it.
Yeah. No, you need to go back.
So I think this speaks a huge testament to his faith because he is like, I'm staying. I don't care what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. Like actually gets in a fight with his friend.
Right. He did. He kind of got a little emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, he is Gabriel, right?
Right. Yeah. Still waiting to wait for that to break through, honestly.
Right. I
know something. Jabril is going to be a huge character, and I just am waiting for his breakout moment. I'm waiting for it because it's going to happen. So I think it's really sad, but it shows that everybody is now is losing. They're having so much doubt now, much so that they gave up everything. They gave up everything to follow him.
Right.
Al-Messiah, and now they're giving up everything to go back and hopefully will be welcomed with open arms. That's what the old dude said. I don't know if they will be welcomed with open arms. What do you think? I mean, they just left their whole family, everything.
But I feel like when you miss someone, it's been, I don't even know how many days, weeks, months they've been out there. So it's like,
yeah.
I mean, you're happy, probably excited to see that they're still alive when they come back.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. But like culturally, I mean, because they were saying that Al-Masai was misquoting Muhammad and, you know, he could have been part of the prophecy, but people were like, but he's doing so many things wrong. And so for people to just stop everything and go, forget it, I'm going to follow him.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I definitely think in the Middle East, their culture is very like black or white. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you betrayed us, you turned your back on us. So yeah, that there could be a little tension there too.
Yeah.
Going back. I mean, you go back, you die, you stay, you die. I don't know. Like it could be right.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I do want to say that Jabril, I feel like is a very, he's a very authentic character. Like he's very genuine and innocent.
Innocent.
Super.
Yes. Right. I love that word.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he is.
And that makes me think that Al-Masai is not.
Why?
Because I feel like I don't believe that there could be two deeply genuine people in the
Dang,
same show.
Tatiana. Is that like, is that, skeptic over here, yeah. This one.
I am your house skeptic. Welcome. My name is Tatiana. I'll be here all week. but it does. It does. It makes me think that because he is. And it seems like Amasai is not as innocent, which makes me think, you know, I'd feel like they're not on the same playing field. And because of that, it would make me want to trust Jabril even more than Amasai in this situation.
Interesting. Interesting outlook. I mean, mm-hmm. I really think that, again, with just going on the bigger picture idea, mm-hmm. that there could be someone. I mean, there could be someone that, the thing is, Jabril's young.
So, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So the thing is, like, when you're young, you don't have all those extra distractions and extra.
He's leading with his heart.
Right.
You know.
Which is what you do. Like, when you're young and don't have anything that's, like, fear. Like, he doesn't have that fear.
Right.
You know, he's all trusting, feels like he's all knowing. He finds comfort. So, again, he is an orphan. He doesn't have a mom. So I feel like at this point, where he's at in his journey, that he is just kind of like latching on to an idea of something that looks and feels good right now.
Right. Like whatever, what is most familiar to him, what you're saying.
Right. I mean.
Because his mom quoted the
right.
The
and was kind of song. Like, that's not the path that God has for you.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he has that in his head. He's trying to stay on that like straight and narrow path. Kind of like stay true to what his mom told him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what his future holds or what, you know, the thing is. So I feel like that's probably why he's holding on to Messiah.
Yeah.
To Amasai's like every last word.
Yeah. And why he's staying in the desert.
By himself. Because that wouldn't be me.
Hurt as a mother because yeah. he is
hungry.
He was beaten and hungry.
Beaten. And yeah. he needs to get to the hospital.
He
and
does.
He is not.
It's not going to go.
Not at all.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm rooting for you, Jabril. Okay. Also, Oscar Wallace. We have the Oscar Wallace theory. Will Mathers actually comes in and comes clean to Ava that he, like, recorded their entire conversation.
Right.
Which is very smart of him. And I can't even hold it against him because he's like, hey, it's part of my job. I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay. But he does bring attention to the fact that Al-Masai was quoting from Oscar Wallace's book, which is the whole what he was saying. I had the quote in here, but he was basically saying like people worship all different types of things, whether it be like money or religion or whatever. So if somebody comes in and upsets that and makes everybody question, and everybody's confused,
and
there's no
trying
stability.
To just create that chaos,
right?
Moment. Yeah.
So basically, in that conversation, when Ava and Al-Masai were talking to each other, he was quoting that book. And nobody knew it except for, Will Mathers comes in right. and says, just so you know, I want you to know that these are not his thoughts. Straight up plagiarism.
Well, I mean, true. I kind of was shocked by that, too, because then at yeah. that point, I kind of was like, okay, this is just really feeding into the idea that Ava's going to be like, yes, you're right. Like,
right.
he is a fake, you know? Like, I was like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. Okay, that's great.
It is. It yeah. is. It is. Because it you know, Oscar Wallace said he said that, like, you know, confusion is the best way to, like, rule.
Right.
You could call him the Joker in this one. It's okay. Like, they have the same concept. but everybody's confused, and that's exactly what he's doing. Everybody is questioning what they believe, what is right and wrong, what's prophecy and what's not prophecy. So he's doing exactly what the book said. It's important to call that into question.
Definitely. I want to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to use that? Like, don't just bring it up and then just, like, let it go. Like,
oh,
I hope that they bring that back around town because I bet you they will.
Like, I bet you it could be used as, like, a force to drive.
But again, like, why? I told you, I think that he is so sneaky. So I feel like he might be using that. Like, he recorded it to use it for some other reason. Like, I don't know.
It could be.
Yeah.
I would be just as curious. I would record it, too, because I would want to hear what they were talking about.
Right. I mean, it's not like in America where you have, like, that double window thing.
Yeah.
You could hear.
yeah.
Right? So it was like it was either recorded or you just don't hear it at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah. That's on my team. 1 point for me and the skeptic wondering if he was down
true.
Or not.
True. So. True. I'll let you have that. You definitely won that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Before we move on to the next topic, can you tell us more about AfterBuzz TV, this lovely place that we get to talk about?
Yes, of course. After we do so many after shows here, the dramas, the reality shows, anything and everything that is on TV. We watch it and review it for you. We are the ESPN of TV Talk, so continue to like, subscribe, support, comment. We want to continue to do this, and so we cannot do that without your lovely support. So go ahead and continue to do that for us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ebony. Oh, that was so good.
Like a ray of sunshine.
It is. Moving on, Dilley, Texas is on the map. So here we go.
I mean, people are literally coming from all over
camping
the world
out.
Camping out, singing. Listen, I thought it was so funny when, like, the CNN reporter, Ruben, mm-hmm. he's like the videographer, right? And he's talking to the reporter and he's like, this is like the Coachella. It's like Coachella went to church.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, was that a little dig at Kanye? What was that?
I mean, maybe. Nowadays.
Right? You never know. But I was like, that is so funny because, I mean, people are singing, people are camping out, yeah. people are staying there for
and
long periods of time.
All different kinds of people.
Right.
Like from all walks of life. You even saw a Buddhist sitting on a couch, like waiting for Almasai to come out. So it's everybody was there.
But I mean, this mom drove all the way from Denver, mm-hmm. Colorado,
yeah.
to Texas to have her, who the daughter has cancer,
yeah.
right? And so she drove all that way just to put her eyes on him, to have him do something. I think she wants him to heal her daughter.
I think she wants, because that interview that she was in at the end, you know, she was basically saying, like, their insurance ran out and they weren't going to cover her daughter's medical bills anymore.
Right.
And so her husband had to take a second job. And so now they don't really see him anymore because he's working so much to pay for everything.
Right.
And she's like, so it's basically just me and her. And if I lose her, then
I have nothing. Yeah.
And so, you know.
She's desperate.
You know, I totally. Yeah, she's desperate. She's like, anything. But the fact when she went there and she was like, can I just see him? Because nobody's going in his tent. Forbidden. Nobody's going in his tent. And she's like, oh, I need to see him. And Felix was like, oh, I'll put you on the list.
On the list!
Like, people already had a list going.
But isn't that weird? I feel like it started to become like an amusement park or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we have you on the list. Get in the waiting line. Take your number.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't feel like that's not how I would want to receive.
No. That's not how. No.
Right.
But although at the same time, I feel like this is extremely correct in, I think, what would happen now.
I think what would happen even more so now is that it would be like money. Like, give me money.
Like, I mean, I'm going to charge you to come in.
Yes, you want to get a miracle. You want to get healed. Okay, I need money.
Buy this tape.
Yeah. I mean, I don't...
Buy this tape with this preaching and for $12.99 for 9 months.
I mean, not that...
Then you can come and see him.
Not that God would ever allow that, right? We don't do selling in the church. But, I mean, I feel like if it was, like, modern day, like, that's literally what would... That's what would happen.
Yeah, totally.
We're all money hungry.
I believe it.
You're right.
Something would be exploited at some point in time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So even if it wasn't directly, like, at the site where he is, it'd be somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
But
be doing that. All these people are coming for an answer when, in fact, Almasai has no plan. Nothing.
Which I find very interesting, too.
Totally interesting. I feel like this episode was extremely revealing to some of Almasai's character.
Right.
Because we've just seen him preach and heal and, like, do all these amazing things. And now he's just...
There.
There.
Right. Which is, like, really weird.
It's super weird.
Yeah.
So he has no answer. And now we have the metaphor of the bird.
Right.
That he was telling Felix.
I was like, okay, so what is this comparison to drinking the water and the bird? Like, what could that mean?
I feel like it was... I feel like it meant... like, people do things instinctually and they don't know why, right? Like, the bird comes and was drinking from what was left over from the frost.
Right.
Because that's all that there was.
Right.
I feel like maybe the same thing is going on with the people that are there.
Well, he said go do what the bird did.
Like, follow your instincts.
But what are the instincts? I don't think he has any. He's just lost. Like, you know, and
but
then
that's the point.
And he asked him, he said, why did you bring me here?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I don't know, I just did it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just did it.
Because he had a feeling.
Right.
He had a feeling. But I think that's what he's saying is, like, you're lost and you're searching for something when, in fact, the answer is in you all the time. I think that's what he's saying by not saying it, you know?
True. Can I be a little, like, skeptic too right now?
I welcome skepticism.
Listen, when that whole thing, like, he, you know, dropped him or, like, picked him up from the court and then brought him to the church, mm-hmm. which, you know, already had this, like, famous type situation going on mm-hmm. with it, mm-hmm. I almost was like, Felix, did you come? Did you do this for your own gain? You know what I'm saying? Like, did you bring him here so that you could kind of low-key exploit him? Like, maybe not intentionally, but, like, you knew if you brought him. It wasn't like, let me protect you, let me put you in a basement or something. Or let me put you, maybe not in the basement, but let me put you somewhere where nobody's going to see you, right? It was like, come back to my place where there's already people mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. because their homes got destroyed already, right? And let me put you in a tent. So I was like, I don't know.
Well, if you think about it, I hear you. and my thought went there as well. But if you think about it, before he even left to go get him, his church was already blowing up. Like, people were already coming because the miracle man was there, right? So even if he didn't bring him back, his church is now a landmark because that happened there. So I feel like people would have been there anyway because they already were coming before Amasai was even there.
Right.
You know, now that he's here, I feel like because when he picked him up, the grin that he had on his face in the car was like, I'm doing something good. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm being a good person. Like, I'm, you know, I'm helping the Messiah. You know, like, it gave him a lot of confidence, which is what he didn't have before. He didn't have confidence in front of his wife. He didn't have confidence in front of his daughter.
Right.
Because everything was failing. Now everything's blowing up and he's doing good and he's taking charge. You know, and I feel like this is him trying to take charge. And now he's, like, the only person that can go in the tent and talk to Al-Masai. So he's kind of now up here as reverend. Like, he starts to preach, you know?
Right, which he hadn't done in a while.
Which he hasn't done in a while. And if he did, it was in front of, like, four people. Now he has, like, an entire host of people that he can preach in front of. I don't know. You might be right. Now that I'm talking all of this stuff now.
Right? Like, it just was like, I don't know, you have, like, a little bit of fame, like, a little bit. Mm-hmm, this is mm-hmm. bringing you attention. More. And so now it's like, okay, cool. Like, now I have him at my site. Like, everyone's going to, A, they already want it to, but now it's really, like, they're here because he's here.
You have something there.
Okay, right? Okay, I'm on your team, maybe.
Okay. Okay. But I also think now, in the same episode, he starts doubting him.
Doubting him, because he asked him, what is your plan? Mm-hmm. And Amasai says, I don't have one. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have a plan. There is no plan. He was like, what?
It's like, all these people, I made a list. They're supposed to come and get healed. And you don't want to do anything?
You don't have a plan?
Yeah. And then Ed comes in, which is his wife's father.
Right.
Which is, you know, in-laws are always tough anyway.
Oh, the pressure he put on him, right?
Yes. Like,
oh my gosh.
But Ed is like, this guy's a hoax. What are you doing? Like, you went to school for divinity. You understand. You know the facts.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
You know? And now you bring my daughter into this. I can only imagine that that's what he would be thinking. You're bringing my daughter, and now my granddaughter, who's already having a hard time with epilepsy.
Right, which we find out this episode.
Yeah.
Which is finally. Thank you for giving us an answer.
Yes. But in addition to epilepsy, she has visions as well.
Right.
So there's a lot going on in this episode.
There was a lot.
So her visions, I wonder if, now that we're on the Rebecca train, I wonder if her visions reflect what's happening now. I mean, it did because her dream came true. Everything was kind of
obliterated. But we haven't seen another vision since.
Yeah, but she has them still. I think that's why she's always like to herself and...
I want to know what these visions are, girl. Tell us.
I hope she keeps a journal and reads it to us because I would like to know as well.
Right.
But her view on her parents is really disheartening. It puts a really big crack in their character, I think. Because she's like, because she meets with
Ava.
Ava, thank mm-hmm. you. And they have this heart-to-heart, I guess you could say.
Again, I feel like it was greasy. You know, it was greasy. She didn't go. Ava does not care. No, she just wanted to get some info. Like, ooh, I bet you're going to tell me something.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, yes, yes. But she didn't. I mean, not really. She just said that she thought her parents were completely lost. We, you know, the most lost people and are still searching. And, you know, she did.
But isn't that everyone, though? Right? Like, I think, like, this episode really shows, like, okay, like, everyone's searching for answers.
Totally.
And even the people that you think have the answers also don't have the answers, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it's, like, that kind of, like, looking at the glass half empty or half full, or looking at someone else's life and being like, that life looks so great, and then really they're dealing with, like, debt and all this extra stuff that maybe you just don't know because you're looking at the top of the iceberg and not what's underneath.
Or realizing right? what they went through in order to
get there. Here. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Talking about that Kevin Hart money. Okay.
Let's bring it up again.
Let's bring it up again. You got to keep saying it too if you want it. Okay. All right.
Make it clear. In addition to all this, so all of our characters are like meeting here in Texas, which is great.
Right.
Really like that. Abram has gone AWOL.
Oh boy.
He's right. missing. He's got nothing to lose.
His wife is worried. This yeah. is the first time we kind of see her worried.
We do see her worried. Yeah. And we also find out how in the heck that his brother-in-law was his boss.
Yeah, right. I did not see that coming.
I didn't see that coming.
Oh. I almost didn't even get that, so you just said that right now.
Well, I'm glad I could point it out for you.
Right.
I guess you didn't know. That's what it was.
Because people call, I mean, little kids call uncle, auntie all the time. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
I have but a I nephew think, that I mean, right. not my blood, but love I think, him just the same.
I think they are. I think,
okay.
Like, yeah, that I makes think sense, that's her though. Brother.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it makes me wonder if, like, that's how he got the job in the first place. Maybe they wouldn't hire him because he had anger issues. I don't know. I don't know fully what his backstory is, but we find everything out about that. But he's gone AWOL. He is in Texas. And the guy right. was like, well, you're obviously not originally from Austin. Right. I was like, okay.
He goes and buys a gun,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I was like, what are you going to do with this?
Thing? Well, we all knew what he was going to do.
Did you? I didn't.
I basically think that he's blaming everything on Al-Masai. Because if it weren't for that, I said this last one too. If it weren't for this interview, like, he wouldn't have lost his job. And a bunch of other things. Like, he wouldn't have made the choices that he did. He wouldn't have captured Jabril and
he's just beat mad because he got caught. And he was always a dirty cop. And he's just always mad dirty. That he got caught. That's
yeah,
what it is.
He is. But he went there with the intention to kill. But he doesn't kill him.
But kill who? But kill what?
Kill Al-Masai.
I know. But see, the thing is, my idea when I saw... Okay, listen. This scene, right? This scene was great.
Yes.
But when I saw him in the car, like, with the gun, mm-hmm. I don't know. For me, he kind of looked a little, like, mental breakdown. So I thought he was going to shoot himself. That's what I almost thought. That's what I kind of thought at first.
But why would he go all the way to Texas to shoot himself?
I don't know. Don't ask me questions. I'm just telling you what I thought, okay? I thought he was going to shoot himself. I was just like, what's happening? But I have to say, this scene in particular mm-hmm. that Kate Woods directed... was like, it built so much tension, right? So it's like, we have Felix preaching to the followers, preaching to the people. Mm-hmm. We have the boy and his father walking to this house, and the dad has a gun.
They're trying to find the dog.
Right.
Hear the dog.
You hear the dog.
Yeah.
And you see, so that's happening. And then you have Al-Masai getting out of the tent. Then you have Avi walking with the gun, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, what's about to happen? And the way that they just switch through each episode, each scene, it was kind of like, are they all going to confront each other? Right. What's going to happen? Who's going to meet with who? What is that, like, connection? So I thought that she did a really good job with that. That was really
building
one
that
of my
suspense.
Yes, that was really one of, like, my favorite scenes in this episode.
Me too.
Yeah, it was nice.
Almost one of my favorite scenes of the entire season thus far. Yeah.
Okay, so my question is, what? Okay, my thing was, like, the dog, right?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm right there with you.
I'm really confused because I really thought, listen, on my notes, I said, Messiah saves the dog, miracle 3. And before I could even finish the sentence, he shoots the dog.
He shoots
I was like,
it.
What is hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just as surprised. And the kid mimicked what I was thinking. You're supposed to save. Yeah, you're supposed to save. It was supposed to be a miracle.
What are you doing? That's literally how I felt. So who? I was like, why did he? Then he said, like, you know, he said, you're supposed to save him. And he was like, no, I wasn't. But I'm like, why did you show up?
Right.
Because the dad was going to shoot him.
Right.
And shoot the dog.
Right.
Maybe he took that burden so the dad wouldn't have to do it. I don't know. But, like, why? Why? Why didn't you just save the dog?
You know why? Because he's not the Messiah.
Here we go.
He can't. He doesn't have the strength to pick up that thing and heal the dog. He couldn't do it. That's why he shot the dog. I was just as confused when I saw it. I was like, yeah. What? But and then it made me think. So, okay, it made me think because I think maybe he is this con artist. This is what makes me think that he could be this con artist. In addition to this, him shooting the dog, when he walks off after doing that, he has this like weird smirk on his face. Do you see that? This weird, it's a weird smirk on his face.
It was the smizing.
It's a smi. Yeah. It was the smize. Sure, yeah. It was a smize, yeah. But it was like, I wouldn't walk, like almost like, oh, I got away with this. I have all these people here for me to heal them on this list, and I'm not going to do it. But they're going to follow me anyway. And they do. Not only that, but in the last episode, I was talking to my husband about this again. In the last episode, he, you know where he's being held in the jail cell?
Right.
And he has, there's that kid in there who's, he's looking at, he reaches down and he gets a coin. He does that coin trick.
Yeah.
With the kid. It's a simple magic trick, but it's like something that con men have, they all know magic, like sleight of hand magic, you know? Mm-hmm. So con men usually know a lot of magic, and the fact that he did that with the coin and then put it back in his pocket, that's his coin. Like, it makes me think, does this coin mean something to him?
No.
You don't think so? Why then would he be carrying a coin randomly in his pocket?
Because he's the Messiah and it just appeared. I don't think he's carrying it.
Anyway. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I don't know. It might just be me. But that mixed with killing the dog.
That was weird. Okay, back to Avi going to the tent, right? To like shoot Amasai,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This scene, I was like, oh no. But you know what's funny? Amasai did not even look fit. He wasn't fazed at all. And no. I think the fact that he wasn't fazed scared Avi.
Yeah, because you think, how many people has he killed in his job?
Yeah.
So why would this be any different?
My thing, because I feel like majority of the time, when you have a gun held to your face, you're pleading for your life.
Yeah.
Help me, scared. No, don't do it. Right? Amasai was the nuts. He stared him right in the face, did not look, did not break eye contact, not one time. So I feel like that kind of intimidated him a little bit, like that energy, right? Like, Not that I know from experience, but I would say that like when you're trying to kill someone, I watch a lot of murder shows, that you don't want to look them in the eye because that, you know, you feel their soul.
Unless you're a psychopath.
Well, true.
Which Avi kind of is.
I mean, but he has a heart. He has a daughter. Stop it.
Sure, but how
you know that's my man. What you better stop talking about him bad, okay?
What happened in Megiddo with the boy? Bring it back to that.
We'll find out. I feel like we'll find out what happened with that. Yeah, I don't know. But I think he was definitely intimidated, and so that made him not shoot him, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
And here comes Ava running, trying to stop it. Yeah. Girl, what you is she gonna missed do it. To stop okay, it? If you were so far away, I didn't even know where your car was parked, but like whatever you saw, if you were trying to stop it, you would have been too late. Yeah, okay, like, yeah. Come on.
But it's cool though, because now we see Ava and Avi have this now like the second connection, right? And we talked about it a little before when we while we were filming, but you made a really good point about the connection between the two.
Oh yeah, yeah. The thing is, they do have this weird connection or these common things that parallel each other, which is they both work. They're both like workaholics. And I think that's like a running theme right now with them too, because, you know, Avi, he has his family, his wife, his daughter that's like falling apart and like not really working out because he is so dedicated to his job. And then you have Eva who, again, like even though her husband like passed away, which is a little different, right? Mm-hmm. But is so married to her job. She's trying to have this baby and it's not working out. Because she's so dedicated to her job. So it's like they're both losing out on life, right? Which Amasai talks about in the last episode when he is in the jail cell when they're doing that interrogation interview. Mm-hmm. And he says, you are the one who is isolating yourself, right? Because you have this career, but you don't have anyone to share it with. So I think that's like that thing that they have in common because they literally are like putting everything else on the line to do their job.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. It almost seems like Abram was a little like a weight had been lifted off his shoulders almost when he was talking with Ava. He just seemed really relaxed, more so relaxed than I would have thought him to be.
Yeah.
You thought? You think?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. No, yeah. I agree.
Because he went from being like, F off, CIA, to then telling her, oh, actually, I came here to kill him. But I didn't. Because you wouldn't know, you haven't looked in his eyes. And she was like, yeah, I have.
Right.
But now they connect on a different level. But now it's not so hostile. You know?
Maybe they can work together. But then, you know, she also figures out that, like, his boss or his people don't know that he's there.
Right.
So she's like, oh, okay, interesting.
Oh, shoot. What's going to happen to you? Yeah, I'm interested to see now that anger is no longer, I mean, I'm sure it's still there, but now that I wonder where else it'll be placed. Because he left everything to go and chase him and kill him, and now he didn't. So now what? Now what's he going to do? And maybe he'll become a follower. Maybe that's his next move, Abram.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He seems very, like, bad boy, tough guy.
Yeah.
But those are always the ones that have the hearts, ladies.
They break down at some point. They always break down at some
just
point.
They're the ones that have the smushiest hearts on the inside.
All right, moving on to our special segment, WWYD.
That is my favorite theme. Music right there. Love it.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You have lost everything. Everything has come into question about what you believe, who you trust, your relationships, people, everything. Your life is literally in shambles, and you are at the end of your rope. You decide to go to the last person who put you over the edge and end this debacle of charades he's been playing. You find him. You have a plan. Your adrenaline is at an all-time high. And you have the moment to end this and end him. What do you do?
Well... The same song is just fabulous. Well, I do have to say that I just went to target practice, so watch out. Okay. Don't mess with me. But I would have to say that, like, I don't think I'd actually have... There's no, like, physical threats necessarily, you get me? And plus, I feel like if I were to kill this threat... Would that not just make more problems for me? Like, am I ready to go to jail? Like,
But you have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose.
I mean,
and your brother-in-law works for the Shin Bet, so you're golden.
Well, if that was the case, why'd you fire me then? Okay,
that's okay.
What the heck?
You did, yeah.
Yeah, he's over here talking Protocol. About the prime minister. Protocol. He don't care about Abby at all. I would say I think I would do what Abby did. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be like, let me. It just causes more problems. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or maybe I should just be the bad cop and just be like, yeah, I'm gonna shoot him. Get rid of him.
I would go in between, and because honestly, like, if I was stripped of everything I had, and went there and everything, I don't think I could kill somebody, but I bet you I would wound him, because I'd be like, I want to see, like, heal yourself, do something.
Do something.
You know what I mean? Like,
don't
you
just stand there.
Wreaked hell on my life. I'm going to just wound you so it's inconvenient for you. I'm not going to kill you.
Right. I mean, because I think you're definitely, like, discombobulated and obviously not thinking in your right mind.
No,
when
absolutely
you're, like,
not.
Mad and angry.
No, you're totally run everything off of emotion, so.
However. Okay. I think Abby also has to take a little bit of, like, the responsibility. Like, whatever.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He made the choices at the end of the day.
So
and it's
like...
not like his choices were new. Like, he'd been beating people up and dropping them off in the desert well before he interrogated Al-Masai.
Right.
It's just now that the CIA is involved, America's involved.
Right. It's kind of a little bit of a problem.
Huge thing.
Yeah. I think so. she needs to take responsibility and actually kind of own up, which maybe could be another reason why he didn't shoot him, because he was like, oh. Like, maybe he felt some energy of, like, guilt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not Abby. So
I'm not Abby either. Forget it.
I don't know.
It's just a what if, okay? It's not real. It's what if. Okay, news and gossip.
Yes.
AfterBuzz. Here we go. TV news. According to the Digital Weekly, everybody has been talking about a Messiah season 2. Has it been confirmed? Has it not been confirmed? Is it happening? What's going on? Messiah season 2 has no release date. Okay, so just to put the rumors to rest, has no release date. There were rumors, of course, that there was something on the horizon, maybe snippets out there. But if you see a snippet, it is false. Okay, guys, nothing has been confirmed. And even if there was, it would be at least a year until we saw anything. Mm. Apparently, that's how Netflix TV or Netflix shows go. You know, they put something out and then it's a year before the next season is out. So we have a while to wait,
right,
and see if there will be a season 2, if there won't be a season 2, and after a year has passed, are we still going to be interested? Exactly. It's hard. That is so hard.
But I mean, it's like, I get it, because the amount of production that you have to go through to even put out 8, 6, 8, 9, 10 episodes.
Yeah.
It's like a long production process. It's kind of like a movie almost.
I mean, I would think that they would start filming right after the first season was done. Like, maybe take like a 3-month break and then start filming again.
Right. But I mean, I think it's just all about like the green lights. Like, is it good ratings? Is it going to be nominated? Like, I think that's all the things that are important for like TV networks and shows. Like,
yeah,
they're not going to continue to pour in money, millions of dollars, in something that's not.
It's true. I mean, I guess.
Not producing.
Well, ratings are high. Critics hate it, but ratings are people that love it. They love it.
Right.
Like IMDb is all about this show. Everybody on there loves it. People on Twitter are having this big, like, it's controversial, yeah, but it's sparking a huge debate, but it's not a bad one.
Which is amazing.
And, you know, minus the change.org petition.
Right.
And the Jordan 5,000 ban.
Signatures, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. And the Jordan ban, you know, like, it is causing controversy, but it's getting really good ratings because I think, personally, because it's sparking a conversation. And it, as much as Netflix says, oh, it has nothing to do with religion and culture and all that, they can say that all day, but
right.
You named the show Messiah.
Right.
That's about the second coming. Like,
right.
It's, of course, it's going to be torn apart, you know, by people talking religion and all that kind of stuff.
But I mean, if you make the show, you better stand by it.
Yeah.
Well, stand by it.
Sit in it. Do it. Yeah, it's good. It's good. But I, of course, still love the show. I think it's really awesome. And I'm excited for everything that's next. We are wrapping up this show.
Yes.
We are hopefully going to do the next couple episodes tomorrow. Yeah, we're just going right through it, guys. We're trying to pump it out as fast as we can. Before we leave, Ebonay, can you tell us where we can find you?
Yes, of course. On Instagram, it is EbonayChapman12. And then on Twitter, it is just my first and last name, Ebonay Chapman.
Awesome. And my name is Tatiana Marisa at Tatiana Marisa on all social media platforms. Until then, we will catch you next time. Thanks, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.